This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Welcome to Katie's Crib, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
The doctor kept saying, like, the more sick you are, like, the stronger.
Better signs.
It is better signs.
It's signs pointing to pregnancy. Yeah.
I was throwing up so much, I thought I had HG.
No,
I couldn't
shit.
Eat anything. I would sip water and vomit. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to harm my baby because you're supposed to eat.
Sure.
Like, you have to be able to eat something.
My OB had one baby. She had HG. She threw up so much. She's like, I survived on Seagram's ginger ale and saltines. It's all she ate for 10 months.
Wow.
I don't know.
I couldn't even have a cracker. I was like,
oh,
I think
my God.
I was like licking celery. I was like,
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Katie's Crib. Today's guest has been a friend of mine for a while. You may know her as Michaela Pratt on ABC's How to Get Away with Murder. I can remember when Asian Naomi King booked How to Get Away with Murder, and I first met her at like an ABC upfront event, and it just reminded me so much of when I got Quinn. And it's been so awesome to just watch Asia and her career blossom and her family blossom. We get into it in this episode. We talk at length about her two miscarriages before her pregnancy. She gave birth to her first child, her rainbow baby, in June of 2021. We talk about her labor. We talk about how awesome it was that she posted a very candid, beautiful image of her body right after childbirth and what that really looks like. Brava, Asia. For those of you who don't know How to Get Away with Murder, Michaela Pratt, well, you should. But if you don't, you may have caught Asia as Cassandra Copelson in the CW medical comedy drama Emily Owens. She's been in films such as Boxing Day, The Birth of a Nation, and The Upside. She's received dozens of television and film accolades, including NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress for How to Get Away with Murder in 2015. She's won the Rising Star Award at the 10th Annual Essence Black Women in Hollywood event 2017. She is the face of the skincare line Olay in fall of 2015, and she became a spokesperson for freaking L'Oreal Paris in 2017. Like I said, she welcomed her first child in 2021 with her husband, Dan King. Asia, welcome to Katie's Crib.
Asia Naomi King.
Katie loves.
I mean, we first met at a... Oh, man. You guys were like the new kids on the block. What season was that of Scandal? I don't even know, but everyone was talking about How to Get Away with Murder, and it hadn't come out yet, and we were at some sort of event. Someone walked you over to me. It might have even been Shonda. Let's say it was Shonda.
Yes. Makes for a better story. Shauna, right? In all her graciousness.
And she was like, this girl is a star. And I was like, yeah, she is. And then I watched your performance in the first episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And since then, it has been a trajectory of shine and brilliance and authenticity and just awesomeness. And I'm just so happy that amidst all of your craze, busyness, and exciting career stuff, you managed to have a baby.
Yes. I mean, the pandemic helped, so...
Totally agree. It really did.
It was a great time to be like, oh, well, we can't do anything. Let's try this.
Did you always want to be a mom?
I did. This is funny to me, though. It's like, because my husband didn't, and he's way more of the like parent caretaker than I am. I always wanted to be a mom because like, that's what you do. You go to college, you fall in love, you... get married, you have a baby.
Yeah, societal norms tell us this is the order.
Exactly. Like you follow the fairy tale, you know, and like, and that's just what you're supposed to do. Having no idea of what that actually means, what that actually looks like. Like my idea of having a baby was like something to put cute clothes on. And that's
totally.
And that's
so obscure. You can't understand it.
Really, I remember even asking friends when I finally did get pregnant. I was like, why do you need so much help? I don't understand. There's two of you and there's only one baby. And now I'm like, wow, I was such a fool. Just what a fool I was.
Yeah, babies, for such a little thing, they really blow up your whole life.
They really do. They really do.
So you really wanted to be a mom because it was what you...
What I thought I was supposed to do.
Did that ever change? I know, I have to say right at the top of this podcast that you, anyone listening who doesn't follow Asia Naomi King's Instagram, it's a wonderful place because you're so, I'm so appreciative of your posts about your experiences. I think they're so honest and raw and helpful and inspiring. So you had been pregnant a couple times before, right?
Yes. I fell in love. To me, the next logical step was have a baby. But the first time we got pregnant, we weren't trying. It was an accident. And it was the kind of thing where I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is a little, I'm not sure I was like totally ready for this. And actually, we weren't married yet by that time. In my mind, I'm like, this is out of order. This isn't the way this is supposed to go. But okay, we can get married before the baby comes and it'll all even out, you know? And when I think back to that first time of getting pregnant, there was like so much, this is so insane, but still my brain's like, but this is what you're supposed to do. So it's okay. Now, when I think back to that time, I just remember us sitting in the car after our doctor's appointment, after being told that there is no baby, and the two of us just sobbing. And it was supposed to be easy. It was supposed to be just the natural thing. It was like breaking of the fantasy for me, basically. It's like, so wait, so it's not just going to happen. It's supposed to just happen. And going through that first miscarriage, oh, you know, I'm an eternal optimist, which sometimes really backfires, especially in
I am too.
Right? So when I had to get a DNC and I'm coming out of sedation and the nurses are trying to like put my pants on, I'm like, show me what you took out, because maybe you made a mistake and there's a baby in there.
So like there's not right. Something is wrong. Like this can't be the story. This is not my story.
Yeah, this is wrong. Everyone's making a mistake. This is not my story. There's a baby. You're all missing it. The machine's broken. You shouldn't have done this thing. Prove to me that you didn't mess up. And I was still working at that time. We were in the midst of shooting Murder, and like we had gone into the season, and I was so excited because it was like my little secret that I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah.
And I don't even know when to tell the writers.
Yeah, I did the same thing. And then you realize, I had a very similar thing. Like, didn't you realize like, oh, I can't control this. Like, I cannot really plan how I've always been able to plan my whole life. Like, I'm sort of, I think you and I are similar in the type A, like, yes. This is what's how things get organized. When's your birthday again?
January 11th. I am a Capricorn. Oh.
Yes. How far along were you?
We were like about 2.5 months in because we had been traveling. So I didn't even have a doctor to go to until we got back to the U.S. Oh, no. Oh, God. Yeah, this was so horrible. I totally forgot about this part. My first miscarriage was a blighted ovum. I'm really bad at knowing my own anatomy and how that works. And that's really sad. But basically, like, I think... I'm like,
we're going to Google it.
Look this up.
No, let me look. Okay, I'm going to look it up right now. A blighted ovum.
I don't want to say this wrong.
Let's look this up. Okay, blighted ovum, excuse me for interrupting, is also called an anembryonic gestation. It's a condition that occurs when a gestational sac develops without an embryo.
Yeah.
It occurs when an embryo never develops or stops developing. Often no specific cause is apparent. It's usually noticed in the first few weeks of pregnancy during an ultrasound. So it's basically like everything is there except a baby.
And that's why I had to do the DNC, because they had to like take that sac out.
Because it's not fertilized.
Yeah.
It's like not, or it's not a real embryo. I mean, it's not going to end up in a baby.
So this, the second one, right, the second miscarriage, when I did the ultrasound, oh, I hated this so much. The tech was like, you had a positive pregnancy test? And I'm like, why the fuck do you think I'm here? Yeah. Yes, I had a
positive pregnancy. Yeah.
No, this can't be happening again. No, this cannot be happening again. And she's just like, I'm not seeing anything in here. And then tags on at the end. And do you know you have a fibroid? I'm like, lady, pick your moments.
Lady, like bedside manner. Like, let's,
yeah.
Like, ugh.
And then later, like, my doctor was worried, like, what if it's when they think it's outside of the uterus? So they wanted me to go back to the doctor because that's so dangerous. So they wanted me to go back to the doctor. And like, I went to the emergency room to double check. And I remember.
I think for those listening, an ectopic pregnancy is when the embryo is attached to like the fallopian tube or something, but it's not correctly in the uterus. So if it were to grow, it could actually.
It could kill you.
Blow up your fallopian tube and it would not be good.
I rushed to the emergency room and I'm in the room with the nurse. She's like, okay, I'm going to bring in the doctor because clearly there's some confusion. So we're going to like check this out or whatever. And
are you alone or is your husband?
My husband's with me. And this woman runs in, this doctor runs in, doesn't even say hi. And she just starts like pushing on my body like super quickly. And I'm just like, what's going on? And she was like, this is your second miscarriage. And she asked me, and what happened the first time? And I'm like telling her like the first time I had a blighted ovum, she bursts out laughing. I just started crying because I'm like, why is this woman laughing at me when I just told her I'm in the middle of a second miscarriage? I just told her my first one was a blighted ovum and she's literally laughing in my face. And she was just like, I'm sorry. It's just been so long since I've heard that term. What the fuck about this is funny to you? She later apologized for that reaction.
I'm only silent right now on this podcast because I'm in shock.
We were so like, what the hell is this? It was the worst day of my life. I was like, this is the second miscarriage. I'm in a hospital. This doctor's laughing in my face.
And you had just been touched and pushed and
prodded. I'm just being pushed and prodded. Like, what is going on? It was after that day that I kind of had this moment of, I didn't want to have to work for it to have the baby because it was supposed to be the natural order. But then I was like, but if you actually do want this, you're going to have to work for it. And you know what? A baby is a really serious thing and you should have to work for it. You should have to work for it because a baby is work. So if you're going to make this happen, do the deep dive. Figure it out. My husband and I were like, we're going to find a naturopathic doctor. We're going to like get into this and try to figure out, do we need tests? What do we need? Let's investigate it. Because one time, okay, sure, no one talks about it, but it's very common. But to me at the time, it wasn't very common because no one talks about it. So
yeah, I know.
I felt totally alone in that.
You would think 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. So
you never hear. When I told my mother I had a miscarriage, she was like, I've had a miscarriage. How are you just telling me this? Why didn't you ever tell me that? Because in that, it would help to know. It would help to...
But look at this. You going through it and you posting about it, as much as we can shit on social media, this, that, and the other thing, there are some real...
moments of connectivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And information. Yeah.
When you posted that your son is a rainbow baby and you've had 2 miscarriages, I just was like, yeah, people should fucking know this. What did it end up being, an episcopic pregnancy? Endoscopic?
No,
let's look that up. Guys, we're learning a lot today.
We are. This is, I have forgotten. So like when I was pregnant, I was like, I know about this. I know about this. I'm reading about this and that. And now I'm like, what did I read?
Brain is gone.
Nope. What happened?
Endoscopic pregnancy detect. An ectopic. ECTOPIC. Yeah. It was not. Okay. Pregnancy is usually diagnosed by carrying out a transvaginal ultrasound scan. This involves okay, great. So ectopic. It was not that.
It was not that. But I still had a horrible day at the hospital, and that was the last time I was like, I'm never rushing to the hospital ever again.
Did you have to have a second DNC?
No. That time I had to do the methotrexate shots, since there was no sac. There was literally no sign of anything, but I kept Optimus. I kept peeing on sticks. I bought so many pregnancy tests, and I just kept peeing on them. I'm like, but it says I'm pregnant. This is the proof right here. And that's the other horrible thing that you don't like. When you have a miscarriage, it takes the body so long to accept that it's not pregnant and flush out those hormones and regulate itself. The body is magical the way it can do that, but I was like, I didn't like the weight.
Me either. I was like, I want to fix this. I'm such a fixer and I'm such a control freak. And it's like, I remember after my miscarriage, I had a DNC also, which for you guys listening, it's essentially like you get put under anesthesia. And I think it's like a 20-30 minute procedure, but they go up there and scrape everything out of there. All the cells out and all that. But it can take a while for you to get a period back and to get your cycle back, which is required in order for you to get pregnant again or to start trying or knowing when you're ovulating again. It took me like 3 months to even get a period back. So I felt out of my fucking mind because I had no cycle. So I just felt like how you feel before you get your period, and then you get your period and there's like a release hormonally for 3 months. I felt fucked up. But yeah, it's a big waiting game. And then some, depending on how far along you were, how your DNC was, some OBs even recommend like you waiting a bunch of cycles to make sure your uterine wall is really strong again, because it gets kind of beat up in a DNC.
I was like, no, like I want to have a baby right now. And my doctor was like, I don't know how to help you with that. Wow. Like, I recommend therapy.
So tell me about when you finally were able to carry this pregnancy happened.
Yes. So we were in Austria, and I didn't have like a huge thyroid thing. The numbers were in a range of normal, but my naturopathic doctor was like, they could be more optimal. So it's like, yeah, you do like the whole, like, you're not drinking. I cut like coffee and stuff. Doing the Brazil nuts and rubbing progesterone on myself. And I was like, this is going to happen. I'm going to will this into being. And we were having sex like it was our job.
Yep.
That was so funny to me because it was like, I really don't want to lose the enjoyment in sex. And we were trying to be so creative to make it fun.
Yeah, how to keep it hot.
Keep it hot and fun. And it was just like, look, I just need you to do this right now.
I have girlfriends that will remain nameless. I hope that, I don't know how long it took you guys, but it's pretty hard. I have to say, I've had friends who it took like years to get pregnant that were literally like, please just like masturbate until the end and then just stick it in. Like, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, is that hard? That's so hard. It's hard on a marriage, hard on a relationship, hard on the why you're doing this. It's hard. It's really hard. So you were keeping it fun. You were still in the fun zone.
Doing our best to keep it in the fun zone. And the third time was the charm. I felt so lucky because, like, yes, I did have the miscarriages, which had some traumatic events attached to them with the
getting pushed around and laughed at.
Yeah, things, that was not great. But at the end of the day, I was like, there's so much that I didn't have to go through that I know other women have had to go through. And it made me feel like this is such a blessing. But at the same time, I was like, but it's not a competition. And I want to honor my experience because I was like, do I even share that it's a rainbow baby? What I went through wasn't as horrible as what other people have gone through. So maybe it doesn't count. That's when I was like, this is not like the trauma Olympics. Like, you don't.
Totally. Absolutely. All things are true.
All things are true.
And what happens to other girls sucked. Like, it sucks.
It's all sucky and it can all be honored. And yeah.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
So, it's the start of your third pregnancy. How did you feel? Were you terrified?
I was so terrified. I was just like, is it going to happen again? Takes away a lot of the fun.
You don't jump right to like the first time where you're like, first time you're afraid. You're like, holy shit, this is terrifying. Yeah, and then you're like, okay, wait, should we talk names? What if it's a boy? What if it's a girl? What are we doing? Look at the month where it's due, like all this stuff. And then once you have a miscarriage, you just... that enjoyment of planning, you're like, I don't know when I'm safe to start daydreaming like that.
And we were doing blood tests to see like HCG levels and just asking ourselves, like, is this real? And then even, oh my God, like I'm in Austria and I'm going to have an ultrasound because that's where we were. And it's the first one and I'm terrified. And I really just hate doctor's offices at this point also. And we go in there and the woman can only really speak German. So I'm just like,
shit. So you're just like, your husband speaks German though, right?
He speaks German, but like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that he doesn't know about. So I didn't realize that she was asking him, should I do a pap smear as well? And he didn't know what that was.
Oh, hilarious.
And so this he couldn't so tell, he couldn't ask me like, do you need this thing? And he couldn't translate because he just didn't know.
He's like, I don't even know what the hell that is.
This is. Sure. And so she like comes in with the metal duck thing. And I'm like, what is this? And she proceeds to give me a pap smear. And I'm like, this is not what we are here for. Tell me if there's a baby in here.
Wow. This is so, did you have the baby in Austria?
No, we had the baby here. And that was the thing that clinched it. Cause we debated doing it in Austria, but we were like, no, I need to be able to communicate to whoever I'm in a room with. Yeah, no, that was definitely the right call. I was like, why am I getting a pap smear when I'm trying to get like a confirmation ultrasound? Getting that confirmation, seeing that image on the ultrasound screen, knowing like this could be real, was wonderful and terrifying all at the same time. Terrifying because it could easily go away, but wonderful because it's like, there's our baby and we've been waiting for you and we work so hard for you. And
yes. So how was the pregnancy?
Oh, that was the other thing where I was like, this is so different.
Did you enjoy being pregnant?
Those first 3 months or like those first, three, 4 months, horrible. I couldn't move. I was sobbing at everything. My husband would be like, let's go for a walk. And I was like, you don't know my pain. Why do you hate me? I had a breakdown like in the middle of the road.
And it felt different than the first two pregnancies.
The doctor kept saying like, the more sick you are, like the stronger.
Better signs.
It is better signs.
It's signs pointing to pregnancy. Yeah.
I was throwing up so much. I thought I had HG.
No,
I couldn't
shit.
Eat anything. I just sip water and vomit.
Asia, no. Are you kidding?
I like lost 10 pounds at the top
no.
of my. Yeah. And then I was terrified. I couldn't eat anything. I was like, oh my God, this is going to harm my baby because you're supposed to eat.
Sure.
Like you have to be able to eat something.
Eat nutrients. Like
exactly.
You.
I was like, are even the prenatal vitamins reaching?
Going in. Probably not, but that's okay.
I was freaking out about that because I just couldn't keep anything.
My OB had one baby. She had HG. She threw up so much her entire pregnancy. And she's like, my daughter, her daughter's 6 and wonderfully healthy, thank God. But she's like, I survived on Seagram's ginger ale and saltines. It's all she ate for 10 months.
Wow.
I don't know.
I couldn't even have a cracker. I was like,
oh,
I think
my God.
I was like licking celery. I was like, there's, and all I wanted was cold. I wanted cold stuff so badly. And then I would just throw it up.
And then when did you make it past that? So the beginning was a rough ride. Did it clear up?
It did. In like the fourth, I shot a movie too. I went to London and shot a movie.
Shit. Oh my God. Was your husband there with you or were you by yourself?
Yes, he's always with me.
Oh, good.
Especially at this time.
You needed support. All the support you could have. I mean, working during that time is not good.
I was getting into in between 3-4 months and it was calming down the illness. And I'm like shooting this film and I'm not trying to share it with anyone because we just weren't sharing with anyone because we didn't know what was happening. Like, I don't think we told anyone until we were almost 5 months. Because then that's when it was like, really? Okay.
Coming out. Things are
like,
happening.
I'm
my
not
body's
just bloated. My body's changing. Like, there's something growing inside of here. That was wild to like be on a set in COVID in London, which.
Oh, shit. Were you terrified?
I so enjoyed the film and the people I was around for the film. And they were like being
so. Which one was
so,
this? Has this come out yet?
Yeah, it was Boxing Day.
Oh, awesome. Fun, comedy. You're not like being.
Exactly.
They
were treating us so wonderfully and they didn't know I was pregnant. And everyone I was surrounded by was just like cracking jokes. Like we were laughing all the time. They had great safety measures in place.
So you felt safe.
I felt safe on set, and I was happy. Like, the people that I was around, they were like just lifting my heart up so much. But being in a city in a pandemic like London, where it's just all shut down, like when I wasn't on set and I was just like in that apartment in London for my husband and I, that was like, ooh, this is a lot. And then I felt so bad for him, because at least I would leave and go to set and have some engagement. He would guard himself up to go to the market to like get healthy things for me, because he was making me my lunches and dinners. And he was just like really trying to take care of what we were putting in my body for our baby. And then he was just like trapped in this space. I'm like, my husband's just like man of the century. Like, He takes such great care of me.
You're taking such great care of your baby. Like, it's a big joint effort. So tell me, how was your labor experience?
It was wonderful. It was long. It was very long.
Were you induced?
Long. No. I had had a beautiful day. My husband had gotten me this vaginal steaming box to use at home. I was at 39 and 3 when my water exploded, I like to say. I would do this vaginal steaming. It's like you're sitting on this wood box and there's like just herbs in a pot, just lightly steaming. It smells so good. I was like relaxing me time.
Yeah, just like sitting comfortably, meditate.
I'm steaming. I'm having a relaxing day. The whole week before, I had started wearing adult diapers because I was in, just in case. And I had been feeling really internal. I stopped responding to any text messages or
were you
phone calls.
On like a proper maternity leave where you were like, hey, everyone on my team, we're shutting like, down at a certain date.
I didn't even,
don't reach me.
No, I didn't even say anything. I just put my phone on silent and was just like, yeah, I just became super antisocial. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to be really internal. I gave no one any kind of warning. I was just like, it's officially me time. And I told myself that and proceeded forward. And that day, after my wonderful steaming, I was like, you know what? I don't feel like putting this adult diaper on. I'm just going to lay down in bed and take a nap. Naked.
Good for you. Good for you. I love it.
Just like, and I got in bed and I'm about to drift off to sleep when all of a sudden water starts exploding out of my body. Ooh. It wasn't some like little trickle. Like, yeah. It was like the dramatic waterfall. Movie theater. And I'm like, the hell? What? I jump out of bed and I swear it was like Niagara Falls. Like someone like throwing buckets out of me. And then I'm like, stop standing here ruining the floors. Go sit on the toilet. Mm. And I'm like shouting for my husband and he can't hear me. So I like text him. I'm like, my water has burst. And he comes, he runs upstairs and he's looking at me and he's looking at the mess and he's looking at the sheets. And he immediately starts taking the sheets off the bed and throws them in the wash and starts mopping the floor. I get into the shower. And originally my doula was going to come over that day to do a little yoga session. And so he messages her and she's like, do you guys still want me to come over? And I'm like, yes.
And yeah, come over. How about you come over?
Just hang out. She's coming over, water breaks. And even within that, there are kind of like time limits around how long you're allowed to like legally
labor with broken water. It can't be more than 24 hours.
Exactly. And I was here for 24 hours.
Fuck no.
Laboring.
Fuck.
And I was like super in labor land. We had gotten to like pushing stage. My midwife was like, this is your body. Put your finger inside of yourself and you will feel his head. And I could feel like he was on his way down, but something was happening. He should have been descending more, and he wasn't. He was getting stuck, and we didn't know what was going on. But I so desperately, like my eternal optimistic side, I was like, but I'm going to make this happen because I really wanted it in the water. And like, we had the pool set up shit. And I'm like in there and I'm like, I want this to happen here. And my midwife was just like, so we should drive to the hospital now while we can before it has to become them having to come and get you.
We can either all get in the car and go to the hospital in like a loving way, or we keep trying it here and it might end up that we're going to have to do it in a more rushed.
Exactly. Scenario. We don't want that. And I love how you worded that. We can all get in the car and go in a loving way. And that's exactly what it was. And my doula was like, your body is going to protect itself and it's going to shut down your labor a little bit while you're driving over. So prepare. I have a lot of stairs at my house. So like just getting down the stairs to the car.
Oh, honey. Fuck.
Oh, God.
Painful and scary.
But then getting in the car, it was true. My body was like, oh, so we're not going to do this right now. Okay. All right. We'll just slow this down a little bit.
Shop closed for a second.
Yeah. We get to the hospital. I love my midwife so much. Normally, like the doula would stay with you and go into the, but my midwife just, we had such a connection. She was like, I'm going to stay with you. And I just also trusted her so much. When you do a home birth, you have all these backup plans for all this. So we were situated. I had my hospital midwife who was on the way to meet us there and my home midwife who was going with us. I just felt protected with the people I had already chosen to surround myself with, changing environments.
Look at this continuous gift and scenario, though, of like your baby and journey has just been a constant having to change your plans.
Yes. Yes. It's such a valuable lesson in just learning how to surrender.
That's my word.
That's parenthood. Like, yeah, just surrender.
Parenthood to surrender to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a constant practice in surrendering.
And because I felt like I had this air of protection around me, all my fears around the hospital didn't immediately creep up. Immediately getting that epidural, which was like, oh, this is really wonderful.
I couldn't do it. Like at a certain point, I tried. Like I labored with both of mine by myself for a shitload of hours. And then at some point I was like, checkmate, I'm good.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to feel this anymore. This is really bad for me.
I love that I felt like I had both of it. I did the laboring at home, unmedicated. I know I could have handled it, but there was something else going on. I also had the epidural and I was like, this is quite lovely.
And I'm tired. You had been doing that a very long time.
So tired and I needed to rest. I had always been terrified of the epidural because I have a fear of needles. So the idea of that in my... The technician that did this epidural, I was like, God sent you because I did not feel this at all. Or maybe I never thought, maybe you're already feeling so much by the time you feel that needle.
You don't feel that. Well,
yeah.
Under mine.
It was wonderful. I slept. I was so afraid of like Pitocin. I was so afraid of just like being forced into a C-section. No one was trying to force me into anything. It was so like, no, we're going to just see how this progresses and we're going to go with it.
It was so much different than all the fears you had sort of
built
up. It
was. And there was even a lovely nurse in the hospital that was like, hey, I've done like spinning babies training. I'm just going to keep you moving since you can't move, I'm going to keep your legs moving. I was like, I felt so taken care of and it was so wonderful. And because my midwife was there, she was like, this is okay. You can do this. And I think it'll be better for you to do this because it will help you to still have the vaginal birth you want to have. And Katie, oh my God, I pushed for 4.5 hours for this baby. My water broke on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. This baby did not come out till Thursday at 4:12 a.m. And at one point my husband was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I was like, don't leave. You're going to miss it. I had no concept of time. I was like, don't leave. And he's like, it has been 2 hours.
You pushed for 4 fucking
hours. I pushed for 4 hours. But really, it felt like there was no concept of time. But I just remember thinking, like, when I realized later, like when we started versus when he emerged onto the scene with his arm up here.
So when he came out, his arm was over his face, like he came out, like elbow.
His arm was like up here. His head came out, and then all of a sudden, like the room shifted. They were like, "Oh, the body didn't just bloop plop out." So the midwife had to reach her hand, the hospital midwife, just to, you know, the one that was allowed to do it, had to reach her hand in and grab his arm, and then and pull that out, and then the rest of the body came out. So that's why he didn't, because he wasn't stuck in the position.
His arms weren't wrapped in a sort of, his arms were up above his head.
Yeah, they call that what, compound presentation.
Holy shit, Google that one. That's a fourth time.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now, I love that, again, anyone listening, follow Asia on Instagram, because if you're a mom, the times you post some realness on it, it's just amazing. And I was so fucking impressed, because a few days after labor, you posted a picture of what your body looks like after you have a baby, which is the most wild fucking time. It's when your stomach has essentially become a deflated, hollow, it's still really big, but yes, it's empty in there.
Yes.
But your organs haven't gone back to where they go. It's very weird. Your stomach looks so weird. And it is something I haven't really seen photos of, and you looked so fucking beautiful, and it was so real, and it was really a special thing to share, I thought. But you see that belly, that big, like, empty belly that's hanging around. I mean, I can remember after both my pregnancies, like, rolling over in the middle of the night from one side to the other and still, like, throwing my big, big, empty, watery, doughy belly.
It, like, messes with you.
Uh-huh.
It's like my husband would be trying to take pictures of me and the baby, and I'd be like, "Ugh, I don't like the way I look." And he was like, "You will regret later if you don't have photos of you and our son
right
in his small estate." Yeah. And I was like, "You are right." And that is what led to that. I was like, I shouldn't be like trying to hide this or erase this. And it made me realize, man, how often do you see an image of a woman
Never.
After she's had the baby.
With the baby. There's always the photo of you with the baby.
The baby, like, but like everything covered, hiding the artifact, this body that has created all of this and what is left behind.
No, that's what was so wonderful about your post. It was so like, yeah, guys, that's what your body looks like after you've had a baby.
Here
it's wild.
And my husband was like, wow, okay, you went to the extreme. He was like, are you sure you
How was your postpartum experience, like the first 6 weeks? Were you in a love bubble? Were you an emotional roller coaster? Did you fall into the love you've never felt? Like, how did you feel like he was a stranger? We've heard it all.
A friend of mine actually said something really amazing to me. He said that someone had told him, don't be surprised if you don't love your baby at first. And at first I was like, what? Not love? And then I had my baby and was like, what is this thing? Where did this come from? There's a stranger here, and this is so weird, because he'd been inside and you don't see him, and now he's outside and wants things. Breastfeeding wasn't like super easy. He had a lip tie,
yeah,
and we had to go to the dentist and they had to like snip, and then it was better because I was like, this is really painful, I don't know what's going on. I've accomplished so much. If I can't breastfeed, that's okay. Because I'd also listened to so many podcasts about not everyone can. So I was like, yes. Accept it. If it can't happen, good. It's fine. We were able to, but like now he has 4 teeth. And I'm like, okay, homie, if you bite me one more time, I swear to God.
Breastfeeding is such a triggering.
It's a triggering conversation. And I'm always like, and to the friends I've had, I'm like, fed is best. That is
yes,
it. However
right.
you do totally it. Feed your baby, they'll be fine, you'll be fine.
I'm coming on the other side of it, which is my daughter is 16 months and I'm still breastfeeding her. I never in my life thought I would ever do this or be one of these mothers.
That's amazing.
And now I'm being judged for breastfeeding her too long.
No!
Oh, honey, welcome to motherhood. You are going to be judged no matter
anything,
what choice you
whatever.
Make. It's really wild. And I'm just like, I don't know. She's my last baby. And she really enjoys it. And it's really easy in my schedule right now. I do it twice a day, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. It's not bothering
it's
anybody.
Not
I'm like, well.
Harming her. Like, I'm like,
oh, she's
breast
so
milk, the shit is magical. After this, I've just been so like, I will never judge anyone for anything ever again. Like, if I see a stay-at-home mom with a full-time nanny, I'm like, yes, ma'am, get it. You deserve. Because I have been alone with my child all day, and I wished I had someone with me.
Speaking of, how has your work-life balance, what does your system look like right now?
I did a film where we shot only nights. And my husband is the primary caretaker of our son. And that was hard. That was hard on the, just with pumping. That was hard with sleep. That was hard with trying to see my
Jesus
child.
Christ,
it was
really hard.
I was like, I want to see my baby. I also want to sleep. I also have to be at work in 5 hours. Like, that was is a beautiful project and I love it and I don't regret a minute of it, but I felt like a broken human.
How old was your son?
He was gonna turn 6 months while I was shooting this.
Good Lord.
So yeah, so that was intense. It's definitely been a negotiation. I do feel like I have a support system and it's great to be like somewhat coming out of COVID now, so.
How cool that your husband is your sole caretaker.
Yeah, like it's beautiful. Just the way he is, his approach, he's very like Montessori, is really like empowering him to be independent. And it's just beautiful.
Cool. I love that shit.
I love it.
I love that shit.
Much.
And now, your husband is white, Austrian. You are Black American. Has there been race conversations yet? Like, what's that sound like in your household?
Oh, just us being in a relationship.
Of course.
So many conversations around race. And then, yeah, with our son, so many conversations around race. When you have a child and you live in a country where, regardless of what that mix is, the perception is like,
yeah, what does he present as?
Exactly. He'll be perceived as Black, most likely, like, regardless, which is this very, like, antiquated thing, like, when you really think about it, because it was like, it was that one drop of blood from a Black person automatically makes you Black. I had actually had a friend who had talked about, she's biracial, she's Black and Asian, and she, like, did this post about, like, I am 100% Black and 100% Asian. Like, I'm not, like, a mix of percentages.
Wow.
And that really resonated with
the both of us. Cool.
Yeah, because, like, for my husband, when he, growing up in Austria, for him, like, you never had to mark a box, like, saying white.
Right. Other. Yeah.
Exactly. And I hate the idea of, like, my child going other. It's so weird. So it's like, when he thinks of himself, he thinks, like, Austrian. And he's looking at his child like, you are also Austrian. And you are also American. You are
right.
All these
That's
things.
Huge.
And we want you to own all these things. And you don't have to compartmentalize or separate or categorize. We can believe in that nuance and it can be okay. But there are some realities that we, of course, have to talk about in terms of, like, his safety.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have conversations about what the perception of you in certain spaces means and how that can potentially affect your safety.
It's like your mom. It's like, our job is to keep our children safe.
Safe.
And the rules are different. It sucks.
And this is what it is.
What's it like in Austria?
So in Austria, and I think over the course of the pandemic, there was a bit of a conversation around that, because, like, my husband always assumed it would be safer for our child in Austria than here in the US. And to a degree, that's true. But there are Black Austrians, of course. And when you hear some of them talking about their experience of being asked, where are you from? When you're Austrian, living in Austria, it doesn't feel good. There is the sense of a feeling of having a target on your back, no matter where in the world you are, like, you're not meant to belong there because people are used to that space being occupied solely by white people. And I think that was a bit of an education for us both. We don't want him to have that feeling of otherhood, of just not being counted as a part of something, which can also just mess with your psyche, because he is Austrian. And that's why it's important for us to be in both places. And spend time in both places for him to be able to speak German. Like, my husband only speaks to him in German.
And, how lovely.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
I'm working on my German too.
Get it, Asia. If anyone can do it.
I can do it.
My last and final question is, parenthood is?
Oh.
We've hit on some good ones, which is parenthood is surrender.
Surrender. I love that. I think surrender is like the word. I might get that tattooed on my body. Surrender.
I know. Can I join you in that?
Let's get sister tattoos.
I'm going to come fucking visit you in Austria, which I've never been to, and I would love
it. So beautiful. So beautiful. It's bananas how beautiful. I love Austria so much.
And I would love to just have you on next year, another season, because I would love to hear about how parenting is going, too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to hear, you're still in the baby stages where the baby's not. I'm really curious what you think of 2 and 3, because you and I are very similar. And the practicing of surrendering with a toddler is quite the journey in exploration.
Yes, I love that. Exactly. Yes.
Thank you for coming on Katie's Crib, Asia. I adore you. And I'm just so happy for you in every way, shape, form. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you for having me. So wonderful to see you. Sending you and your beautiful family so much love, always.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I want to hear from you. Let's chat. Questions, comments, concerns? Let me know. You can always find me at katiescrib@shondaland.com. Katie's Crib is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.